5. I hope you've been enjoying this study in the book of John. We're going to start with verse 1, 1 John 5, verse 1. Tell me when you got it. Just before you, it's near the back of the book. You'll find John. You'll find all the other Johns. Jude and Revelation. All right. Tell me when you got it. All right, look at verse 1. It says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. How many knows that he is the object of our faith? There's benefits to having your faith in Christ. A lot of people put their faith in a whole lot of things. Are you with me? But how many knows that you won't be disappointed by putting your faith in Christ? How many believe that God has a plan for our lives? How many believe that, honestly? Do you believe he has a plan to prosper, give you a hope in a future? How many realize that you're an eternal being even now on this temporal time? That you will live forever. How many knows that's a good thing? Right now we are missing, we're separate from him, but one day we'll be face to face. God's called us to be here as ambassadors. But notice that whosoever believes, it's the object of our faith. Now I want to make this statement to you. Our faith may at times be weak and imperfect. Let me say amen. How many knows no one has the corner of the market? We're all still growing in this area. But provided that it's sincere and right, God can move. How many know sometimes, Lord, help my unbelief? How many knows, Lord, I've seen you do it for others. Lord, help me have it personal. I'm preaching now. Believing involves knowledge. How many ever had an inclination that God was going to do something? How about a yielding or a trust? See, our faith needs to be subject to receive. And that's what I want tonight, that our faith receives the engrafted word of God. That we are believers in here. I said we're believers in here. We've been birthed out of God, which is a divine work. So whoever believes that Jesus Christ is the Christ, Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now the demons can speak it and they speak and tremble. But we have something different because it comes from our spirit. That Jesus Christ is real. We've been born by God. And since you've been born by God, Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace you've been saved. Thank God for the grace of God. Amen. Through faith and not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. What I appreciate is God did stuff for us that we could never do for ourselves. I say God did stuff for us that we could never do for ourselves. When you're born of God, you know what happens? You begin to love God. How many knows that becomes a reality? You can't be a Christian and continue just to say, we're buds. There's got to be a growth relationship. Because the Spirit works in you, that growth relationship. How many knows it's happened here? Listen, if that growth relationship isn't continuing, you need to get back to the source. I'll get in that in a minute. Look at verse 2. And we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commands. Brotherly love becomes part of our life. In loving God, we should love people. Can I get an amen? Amen. Brotherly love should be considered one of the commandments of God. Didn't Jesus say, hey, if you love me, love them? Shouldn't that be something that we should make it sincere in our hearts? Say, you know what? This needs to be a command in my life. That I need to love one another. Because when you love somebody, don't you want the best for them? Could you imagine coming to a church where people are in love with people? Not in a weird way. But like, man, you want to see God do something because you're in love with them. Man, if you could change the position and touch, you would do it. Can you imagine that at the altar? When Jesus touched people, he was moved with compassion. He looked at them and he loved them. And he was tired of what sin had did to all of them. I believe this with all my heart. When he cried out for Lazarus in that tomb, he was reversing the machinery of death for a moment. Until the resurrection from the dead came. Hallelujah. How many knows he spoke against it? Our God can raise the dead. All of us need to have a sincere testimony that we love the brethren. Sometimes it's easy to love people, and sometimes it's difficult. Amen? But we shouldn't look at the circumstance. Lord, let me love them. Amen? Now, love, like I spoke last week, still says no. I said love still says no. And also love says, listen to me, we need to change. That's still in love, amen? Sometimes behaviors need to change. I love the individual, but I don't like the behavior. Amen? How many knows that could be even in our own families? Say amen. The outcome of loving God should be loving people. If you're born of God, it starts to work in you. Look at verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. It's like this. The commandments are full of joy and encouraging. The commandment of God is this. We've been created by God. There's requirements in man. And it shouldn't be difficult for us to keep them. Now, we've sinned. None of us could keep the Ten Commandments. We all violated at least one of them. Jesus fulfilled it. Now we can walk in it. But I know if our relationship with God is current and we're loving God, we can keep the Ten Commandments. And one more, love your neighbor as yourself. How many knows we can do that? We shouldn't look at the commands God gives us as like all a bunch of rules and duty. No, it should be a joy. Since I've been created in his image, listen to me, I want to walk in that. If it's difficult to keep the commands, you need to go back that realize that sin still may be reigning in your mortal body. Yep. Crucify that area. If you're still going after every appetite of the flesh, crucify that area. I haven't met a perfect person yet, but I want to be on the road in that arena. Something should drop off. Can I say amen? In John 3, verse 6 says this, that which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of spirit is spirit. When you're born again, you're born of God. That means you can conquer the world. None of us should ever contemplate failure or faint under the struggle of hardship. We should continue. Are you hearing me? Come on, you're born of God. You're born of the Lord. I'm born of you. Then you know what? Everything that will come upon you in life, the Lord's with you. I said the Lord's with you. As children of God, we can fight the world only as conquerors. That's good preaching. We need to look at it and say, you know what? I'm victorious in Christ Jesus. Sometimes our emotions will run. And listen to me, when your emotions run, they can kind of run away. True? I heard a little illustration the other day. This guy really likes to ride horses. And he had some horses on his farm. And they were just barely broken in. They weren't like the trail horses that you ride for $10. And they followed the other one and never moved. These ones were still a little bit wild. But if you knew how to ride them, you know what, you could do it. He says he had two people come to his farm. He had a 7-year-old nephew. And a gentleman that was dating his daughter, which was like 25. And he taught the 7-year-old, here's what you need to do to ride this horse. Work it out and you'll be fine. And he said the 7-year-old did it, no problem. Then the older guy got on there and said, no, I don't need to hear that. I rode horses all my life. And the horse went wild. Say amen. No matter what age we are, we need to learn. But our emotions can be like a horse that's running out of control. It's hard to reel it in when it gets out there. True? How many understand that? When Jesus says, don't let your heart be troubled, he was speaking to them, listen to me, I'm going to go away, don't worry, I won't leave you comfortless. They needed to heed that as he was going to the cross. If they would have heeded to those words, a lot of their anguish wouldn't have been there. Oh, I'm preaching now. We also need to realize that God helped me in this arena. It's kind of quiet today. Look at verse 4. Whoever is born of God, whomsoever is born of God, overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. The fact of the victory, victoria parta if you want to, the fact of victory, that faith, the participation of victory, the power, all of that, the maintaining, the consuming victory belongs to us as believers. We have overcome death. Because we love the brethren. How many knows Jesus purchased that? He made the total plan for our lives. That we're more than overcomers. Our faith in Christ gives us that ability. You know what? You're going to live forever with the King. That's good news. Then everything else, Lord Jesus, let me work this through. Faith is like a combatant as we gain the victory. You know what? Sometimes there's a fight of faith. How many understand that? How many of you ever had some struggles in your body? Some pains and whatever. Let me see your hand. How many had some like this and this and this? The truth is that that's part of it. One day this sin-cursed thing, this flesh, one day will take on immortality. And you'll finally have the right physical body with the right spirit that's there. Glory to God. Until then, you have God in these earthen vessels. You have the Holy Ghost in vessels of really just flesh. But it's just clay. Amen? Look at verse 5. Whoever overcomes the world, listen to me, but he who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. The fact that the believer is, we partake of his glory as children. We conquer with him and we participate in his victory. Well, you know what? I have overcome because I believe in his name. How many of us, that's great. When you got saved, something transformed in your life. Let the transforming power continue. Now, you're here tonight because you're hungry. Now, let that work in you. Look at this here. And it is he who overcame by water and blood. Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And also the Spirit bears witness because it's the Spirit of truth. Now, notice these elements here. There's water and blood. Remember when Jesus was back in the Jordan River? And he came and John said, look, I need to be baptized. I'm not even worthy to carry your sandals. And Jesus says, suffer it so, fulfill it that all righteousness may be fulfilled. Do you know truly what water baptism points to? Is you're buried in that watery grave and you're raised to newness of life. Jesus is signifying that I'm going to die here. Hallelujah. I'm going to offer myself as a sacrifice. He overcame, the witnesses there. At the beginning of his ministry, the witness of his death was there. The water was there. How many are following this? The immersion pointed to his death. Notice the blood. How many knows on the cross, he became the atoning sacrificial lamb. So on his deathbed, now these bear witness that he was in that watery grave, came alive, and he offered his blood upon the cross. These are bearing witness of that he is the Son of God. Like for all of us, we don't have to question. The beginning of his ministry and the end of his ministry signified who he was. Both facts prove that he was obedient to the will of God, that he was the Son of God. Isn't that cool? How many are thankful for Jesus? If it just wasn't out there just getting some sprinkle, some water on there, he's saying this, I've came for this purpose, to bring my life, to give my life, to offer it as a ransom for many. Isn't that so loving of God? His whole time was to give his life so we could have life. I appreciate the Lord. When you know him, you love him. I said, when you know him, you love him. Amen? Notice the word, he came. He came. He proved himself that he was pre-announced, that every type and shadow of the prophecy of the Old Testament, he came. It was him. He's the one that baptism started his messianic career, as it were. He consummated himself by the act of immersion. At death, he canceled every debt that was against us and brought reconciliation. The sin abounded, but grace did much more abound. Oh, I love that. In Zechariah 12, verse 10, if you're taking notes, I will pour out on the house of David, on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplication. For they have looked on me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one who mourns for his only son, and shall have bitterness for him as the bitterness of a firstborn. When I look at Jesus, he paid it all. And I believe it'll take us an eternity to realize how much it took to bring us back in relationship. How much we've fallen, how much we were marred, but yet Jesus still came. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen? He didn't come to be a conquering hero. He didn't overthrow Rome. He came to conquer men's hearts. Hallelujah. To deal with their sin. But the next time he's coming, he's laying down his foot. It's going to be his way. Yes. Amen. Notice the third part of this verse here. There was blood. There was water. But also the Spirit bears witness. These three bear witness here. The Holy Ghost bears witness. When you walk this life, the Holy Ghost bears witness that you are a son or daughter of the Most High God. It's that witness of the Holy Ghost that's in you that proves those arenas. All of us in here need to have that witness. In John 15, verse 26, when the Comforter come, that my Father will send, he'll lead you. Even the Spirit of truth, who proceeds of the Father, he'll testify of me. He leads us into all truth. Not some truth, all truth. He mediates the fellowship with Christ. He secures eternal life. This is a threefold witness: the water, the blood, and the Spirit. It started his earthly ministry. It ended that arena there on the cross. And the Holy Ghost now bears witness of it for everything that's going to happen here, now, and forever. There's always a witness. I thank Jesus for this, because truth is revealed through the Word of God. And he made sure I got a copy of it. When you look at the billions of people that have been on the planet, I don't know how many has been since the creation, but isn't it amazing that you got saved? It's such a privilege that somehow it all came together and you said yes. That we got our life right and we can sit here amongst each other and knowing that truth has set us free. When you look at the Holy Spirit, always realize his nature is the truth. So there's no gray areas there. If you hear a lie, it's not from him. Sometimes you got to filter what you hear through that truth of the Holy Ghost. Sometimes when we ask the Lord something, we can answer ourselves and sometimes sound pretty convincing. Oh, nobody knows what I'm talking about. How many knows if you run it through the truth, you'll find it? Because the truth always bears witness. Is this good tonight? When the Holy Spirit's there, he always leads. He leads us. Look at verse 7. There are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. These three bear witness on the earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. They all agree. If you look at Jesus' life, you can go it from the beginning of his ministry to where he's on the cross to the Spirit being given. They all bear witness that he is the Son of God. No religious leader can make this claim. He has proof. And John speaking that revelation, they all bear witness. You have perfect harmony. Perfect in that testimony. These three are one. Hallelujah. When the Spirit begins the work of regeneration, that symbol, that water, it's like he went down in that grave, but what happens? He came back up in new birth, new life. I mean, that's the same way with us. We repent of our sins. We're brought down in that. We're raised in newness of life by the Holy Spirit. The blood now works in our favor. Hallelujah. I mean, that's awesome. That water, that blood, and that Spirit are all working in our lives now. We've been birthed in that arena. We've been kept in that thing. The blood now, listen, we have that power. We also have the passion of God. How many ever seen like some family members that look like each other? Now, I know there's some family members that look nothing alike. But how many of those there sometimes, hey, you look like your mom. You look like your dad. True? There's a resemblance there. We will bear the image. As we bore the image of the earthy, one day we will bear the image of the heavenly. Won't that be cool? Yes or no? Since we're birthed by him, he's going to give us a glorified body like his. We will be like him. You win! There is no losing as a Christian. None! You are more than a conqueror. The enemy wants you to realize that you're just temporal, or you got this problem, or you got this going on. You're a conqueror. If Jesus Christ is in your life, you've overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. Amen? The result of your faith in Jesus, you become a son or daughter of God. Hallelujah. Look at verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Please understand that. The witness of God is greater than man. Amen? Sometimes man will agree with itself. But when you get the witness of God, it's greater. Now, if I agree with God, you agree with God, we have that common bond. But never let it be the end goal. Let God bring the witness too. Amen? Sometimes, you ever felt condemned or you felt like you didn't measure up? Or how can the Lord use me? Let me see your hand. Be honest. How many have felt like inadequate or the Lord can't do that? Sometimes we can bear witness with that with each other. But man, God's greater than that. I want God's opinion on your life. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at verse 9. If we receive the witness of man, the witness of God is greater. And this is the witness of God, that he testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe has made him a liar, because he's not believed in the testimony that he's given of his Son. When you're born by the power of God, by the Holy Ghost, you become a son of God. But listen, even if you deny that he's real, he's not the liar, you are. The witness is still there. There's going to be a lot of people wake up, some to everlasting life and some to everlasting destruction. But he's going to be the truth regardless. And you know when it says in Scripture in Revelation that every tongue will confess he's Lord to the glory of God the Father, that will be a reality for every single person. For they will see him as he is, that he was the truth. How many of us, that's powerful. To know that truth, you pass from death to life. Well, that's awesome, amen? In Titus 3, verse 5, not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. God does that work in us. That regeneration is there. Now, I'm not perfect, Pastor, but you know what? I thank God I'm not what I used to be either. I'm on the road to recovery. I'm on the road to restoration. And the closer I get to him, the more I realize that it may not be the big things you have to deal with, but there's a lot of little things you got to deal with. How many still got some things to deal with? A little change here, a little attitude here, a little bit here. You need to grow a little more faith here. You need da, 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 da. Or am I the only one? You're all perfect here. I need to give you the mic. Look at 1 John 5, verse 10, the second part of the verse. He who does not believe has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given his Son. If you don't believe, it's still true. And in John 3, verse 18, it says this, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he's not believed in the only Son of God. When I look at that, oh man. So if I understand this correctly, if you don't know Christ, you're not in that believing road. Condemnation is there. It's already there. It's now the next step is gone. The church should really realize that if people pass away without Christ, they're condemned. They're already in that arena. They're condemned already. Christ is the one that redeems us from the curse. It's so important that we witness. It's so important that we share. I want them to go from death to life. True? It's so important to realize that people are under that. Man, a few minutes without oxygen, they're gone. Lord, we need Jesus Christ. I said we need him. Amen? When I look at people today, Lord, touch them. Like all of us outside of Christ, we were lost. Aren't you glad you didn't pass away? How many are so thankful? Man, hell would have been a reality. But we were under that. Can you imagine? The whole world sits in darkness. But he has come that we might have life. How do you know? These bear witness. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The water, the blood, and the Spirit. They all bear witness that he's real. You have that testimony in you. And even if yourself condemns yourself, God's greater than that. You can trust in him. Here's what God said. Sometimes you need to doubt your doubts. Sometimes you need to push that away and go, you know what? No, I am saved. Amen? Because God's word says it. Even more than my word. Are you following that along? Look at verse 11. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And the life is in his Son. The testimony is in himself. We have eternal life. I love that. It's life to the full. Amen? And heaven is so current. Every saint that departs from here, listen, they know what went on planet Earth. Your mind just doesn't go blank when you get to heaven. But what's purged out is every hint of sin. Amen. You come under the cleansing power of the Holy Ghost, and every hint of sin is now removed. How many of us, that's cool? No lust, no envy, no. All that is gone. That's hay, wood, and stuff. That's the flesh stuff. All that's burned off. That can't stand in his holy presence. So now picture yourself totally pure in his presence. Now that also brings this question. If you're immature, an infant spiritually, you're going to depart planet Earth and be that condition there. That doesn't mean you can't grow, but if you only know the Lord and just Savior, you've never experienced much. Listen to me, there isn't all of a sudden, presto, you know everything. That's not scriptural. It says, study to show yourself approved. Why? So you're approved of God. I've seen this happen. The thief on the cross made heaven his home, no doubt about it. But there was no reward from that point. Yes, he's there by faith. Thank God he's there. But there was no opportunity to live for the Lord. Amen? Even the rewards that follow, he has eternal life. That's a gift of God. But how many knows that we can receive a whole lot more? We can know him more. Oh, I'm preaching now. I know this for a fact. I have this revelation that we have to grow in the grace and knowledge. And it isn't hard. Lord, teach me. Take the word and say, Lord, teach me. I want to know. I want to grow. I want to mature. Now, parents, when kids are little, they need certain vitamins, nutrients, milk. True? Baby food. You feed them as a baby. I've yet to see an infant eat a steak dinner. Haven't seen it. They may throw it, sit on it, do something with it. But they mature. As you mature, you also enjoy more meat of the word. When I look today, and this is a real caution I have, how many pastors have given their congregations meat of the word? See, if you don't, you stunt the growth of the people. And believe it or not, some people will get tired of being bottle fed. Baby food's good when you're a baby, but not anymore. Now, you may enjoy a banana here and there, but the truth is that that's not your portion. But there's got to be growth. Well, the same way spiritually. We have to grow and mature. Because strong meat belongs to those who have full age. Who've exercised those things. I want that for this congregation. I want you to be solid and strong and faithful. Because one day we're going to all see him face to face. Glory to God. Amen. Look at verse 11. And this is the testimony that God has given us. Eternal life. And the life is in his Son. This is the testimony. If you have the Son, you have life. That is so awesome. I love it that we have eternal life coming our way. I don't want these relationships to end. Because if heaven had a time frame, we would all be looking and counting back. All of us, every day, would be reminded, I only got a million more years left. Oh, man. I only got 700,000 left. Oh, man. I only got 300. You only got one more day and you got to go. Oh. How many of you know it would be a sad day? Because that means as the clock wound down, none of us would be there at that moment. But he gives us eternal life that where he is, we will be also. Lord, I love that about the Lord, that he's eternal in this. And you have that witness inside of you. Before Christ, listen, you hope there. I've heard this said many times. I'm going to go to hell and all my friends are going to be there and we're going to party. That's not reality at all. That's one of the greatest deceptions. You're going to burn and be painted, be all by yourself with your own memories. Think about that. How about this? How about knowing you could have went to another place and you decided not to? If you notice in Scripture, there was a rich young ruler that passed away. And he said, hey, then the beggar died. And the beggar went to Abraham's bosom. But the rich guy said, you know, man, I'm in torment. Lazarus, come dip your finger and just place it on my tongue. And the word says there's a great gulf fixed between the two, that you can't come here and they can't come there. Well, then go send them to I got seven brethren. Go tell them that they'll hear. And he said, they got Moses and the prophets. If they don't believe them, they won't believe even if one rose from the dead. But notice that I can see it. I'm in burning, and I have no more hope. And people who are even in hell don't want anyone else to go there either. That's how awful it is. That's how awful it is. We've never been designed. Now you'll have a glorified body in a place that you'll never be consumed. Oh, what a terrible thing. Yeah. Terrible. We've went from death to life, eternal life. Yeah. We have a privilege to know and to grow. I want all of you to mature in those things. There's so many things the Lord wants to speak in that arena. He wants to grow in that area. Yeah. That heaven is an awesome place. Oh. I did a series on heaven a while ago, and God gave me some glimpses of heaven, how perfect it is. It's just unbelievable. And the throne is not no little bitty stand like this. It's like all of heaven is focused towards it. It's like it's the center focus of all of what heaven is. There are mountains there. There are rivers there. There are valleys there. It's like earth became the copy of the original. And that's the way it is. There are flowers there. It's beautiful. You'll see those things. And then when Jesus comes in, you'll see him. He'll walk to you. He has texture and feeling. He has a body. But he's one with the Father. It's like he can go in and out of that presence. And all the angelic hosts, they stand at attention and they worship. But they're also busy too doing the Father's business. Heaven's a real place. Lord, we need to see it. We get so bombarded in our senses today that we become dull. Amen? Wrap me in your arms. Have that time where you just lay aside, Lord, teach me. I want to walk in your ways. Hallelujah. When you have this testimony, you have eternal life. How many knows you have eternal life in here? Let me see your hand. If you don't, tonight's the night. You have this record. It's not man's bearing witness. It's God bearing witness with it. You have eternal life. And the life is in his Son. In John 1 verse 4 says this, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. In John 11 verse 25, and Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Isn't that awesome? Lord, where is the life? Lord, I know that the resurrection will come. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am it. The reason why it's going to manifest is because it's me. I'm going to bring it to pass. Isn't that cool? How many knows he has the power even to raise the dead? And Jesus in Colossians 2 verse 9 says, and in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It manifested in him. It became a reality. Jesus took on flesh. And it wasn't all of a sudden Jesus appeared and all of a sudden he wasn't around. No, he took on our limitations. Sometimes people have an idea that Jesus was birthed and there he is. So he's 2,000 some years old. No, Jesus has always been. But he says, I'm going to take on flesh and walk among you. He took on our limitations. The Spirit of God dwelt in a fleshly body. He grew as a man. He became obedient even to the death of the cross. He had to be the sacrificial lamb. He was the only one that could overcome sin and shame, overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. And he was tempted in every way, yet without sin. Isn't that cool? Now think about it. Adam and Eve, before they sinned, they walked with God in the coolness of the day on planet Earth. Until sin came and destroyed that arena. And they even had a fruit that if they would have ate it, they would have lived forever in their sin. What was in that fruit? Isn't that cool? How many knows the Garden of Eden, God still has it? I wonder if that fruit will be there. It says the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations, according to Revelation. We'll see. Amen. Maybe it'd be something good to taste. Who knows? How many knows God knows where the Ark of the Covenant is too? Oh, yeah. Even if the Raiders of the Lost Ark think it's in some cave in some place or some warehouse in Germany or something. How many knows God still has it? He knows where it is. Yes or no? Yeah. It's his. Sometimes I crack up when you see Jesus in some napkin or a potato chip. He's not in any of that stupid stuff. Amen? And when he comes in great, his clouds of glory, it isn't just some fake cloud. He's going to come through, hallelujah. And his armies will come riding with him. And I notice also, he has an affinity for horses. He really does. That'd be kind of cool, amen. How many of those, there'll be animals in heaven. Yes, there will be, amen. And that could be cool if you like animals. And here's my opinion. Here's something I received from the Lord. Is that the Lord doesn't mind giving you things there for your heart's desire because he wants to lavish his children. Amen? That's why I don't believe that if you remove all sin from us, we don't become greedy anymore. We don't become selfish anymore. All that's hay, wood, and stubble. All that fleshly stuff is burned in his presence. But then also, the consuming fire tries your works to see what they are of. If they're done genuinely for the Lord, they'll stay there. It's like a jewel. But if it's done for fleshly means, it will be burned in his presence, because that's hay, wood, and stubble. How many understand that? There's going to be a lot of people like, well, Lord, didn't I do this in your name? Didn't I do this? You did it for self. And then the Lord will reward those. No, you did this for me. Even a cup of cold water he'll reward if it's done for the Lord. So nothing that defiles will enter in. And our rewards will be only authentic, tried by fire. I wonder how many pastors will suffer loss because they did it for their own name. And some grandmother that nobody knew will be rewarded more. I mean, that's a reality. Our works will be tried by fire. That's why, you know, when you do something, be genuine with it. Lord, I'm doing it unto you. Amen? Not so people can see me. Look how awesome I am. No, I'm doing it unto you. Now, somebody may see you and say something to you. Just receive that and you go back to God and give glory. If somebody sings a nice song, you can say, hey, man, that was great. Receive it from the person so you don't blow them off. But then you go to God and say, God, I couldn't do it without you. Thank you, Jesus. You give the glory to him. Are you enjoying tonight? Amen. In Colossians 2, verse 9 says, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. When Jesus appeared, that's why Satan hated him so much. He knew that, man, this is God in the flesh. Now notice something here. This is the first time that he's going to attack somebody that knows his tactics. He's going to attack somebody that's greater than him. Isn't that so awesome? You also need to realize when Christ is in you, Satan attacks you, but greater is he that's in you. It's the same battle now. Wait a minute now. I'm not battling in me. I got Christ in me. That means I can't be beat because Christ is in me, the hope of glory. That's awesome. So realize that you have that in you. Now, can you imagine Satan bringing the most ultimate temptation? Do you know what? When Satan tempted Jesus, he pulled out all the stops. How about this? How many people would have fell? I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world and all its riches. Remember now, Satan had that dominion. And showed him in just a moment, if you'll bow down and worship me. How many people would have said, man, I'd love to have that fame. I'd love to have that power. I'd love to have that prestige. I'd love to have that money. Yep. A whole lot of people would have fell a whole lot before then. Yep. And Jesus said, no, it's written. He knew who he was. It's written. He knew who his father was. It is written. So don't let anything come your way that enemy will bring some false pretense. God has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. True? You don't have to chase after the world. I've seen people leave the faith for riches. It may not have started that way, but I've saw this happen. Lord, bless me with a great job. God did, and no longer serving them anymore. Your riches become your downfall. How many of that can happen? We're fleshly. Satan knew to push all the right buttons against Jesus, but he had no idea who he was dealing with. He had no idea. If Satan would have knew putting Jesus on the cross would have ended him, he would have never crucified the Lord. But that wisdom was hid from him. That was reserved for the Father. Amen? Jesus showed at that watery grave in Jordan, I've come to give my life. On the blood I'm going to spill is going to offer atonement for man's sin. And the Spirit's going to bear witness with all this that's happening. Hallelujah. How many knows that the Holy Spirit got an opportunity to do what he wanted to do all along? He fulfilled what he spoke in Genesis to Satan. Satan, one day from her seed, not his seed, not Adam's, from hers, he's going to crush your head. You're going to strike his heel. You're going to leave a mark, but he's going to crush your head. Satan had a prophetic utterance against him even at the fall. Isn't that so awesome? Because if I would have been the one in the garden that fell, I'd have been most miserable, wouldn't you? If you entered sin into the world and everything started to decay, how many would be totally bummed? How many would be like, you can blame everybody else, but it's just you? The blame game started when sin entered the world. What did Adam do? He blamed Eve. What did Eve do? He blamed the serpent. Before then, they had no reason to. Hallelujah. Are you enjoying tonight? Look at verse 12. I'll close with this. He who has the Son has life. Somebody say life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. There's no life outside of Christ. You may be physically existing, but there's no real life in you. The life's in you is you live by the faith of the Son of God who gave himself for you. Well, you know, now we can live that through. John's trying to speak a word. He's trying to bring revelation. Here's the revelation. I give you a new command. Love one another. A command is this. Love one another. Shows that you're mine. If you have eternal life, it bears witness that the Spirit, the water, and the Word all bear there. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, the water, the blood, they all bear witness of me. And you'll know if your heart condemns you, God's greater than your heart. The witness of man is fine, but the witness of God is greater. Hallelujah. And if you have the Son, you have life. How many of us, there's some good stuff in there. You enjoy tonight? I know we're just scratching the surface, but we got to close. Say, God is good. How many realize you went from death to life because of Christ? Isn't that awesome? Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we went from death to life.